Well, Monday morning, I woke up bright and early. I sat up in bed and I said, oh no. And Kim said, what's wrong? I said, I'm preaching on temptation this week. And she went, okay. So I said, I'm going to get tempted. And I thought, oh man, because whenever I preach either the week before or the week after, boom, I tend to get pounded. Well, I got to tell you, my week went pretty good and until about Thursday. And I realized suddenly, oh no, I didn't have any really horrible big sin things trying to draw me in. But I suddenly realized, oh no, I kind of slipped into an old pattern of, God, I got this. I can take care of this just fine. I slipped into the old, I'm going to rely on you about 50% and I'll take the rest, God. And I went, oh no. Because whenever I do that, I miss opportunities. It's the kind of deal where I found myself, well, I prayed just a couple minutes and then I jump into my work because I got to get busy and there's lots to do. Or I start reading my Bible and then I get distracted. Oh, I want to check this out. Or the kind of thing where, I deserve a break today. You know, maybe I won't work quite so hard. And I found a number of times the devil got me on that. You know, it's not a good trade. When my focus got tweaked, they weren't these massive things, but they were things that still got me off track. And that's not where I want to be. I don't know what your temptation is or was or will be. It might be what goes in your mouth. It could be food or whatever else. It could be things that come out of your mouth, your words. It might be where your fingers go walking or what they see. Maybe what you do or don't do. But I know whatever your age, your level of spiritual maturity, there is temptation out there. I remember thinking as a young married guy, boy, when I get married, I won't be tempted anymore. Well, I'm married and marriage is good, but I still am. Doggone it. I thought when I get older, I'll have things a little more together. Well, that doesn't work either. You know how that goes. You know, temptation, though, has been part of the human condition since just about the day after the first day. And what really got the human race into trouble was Adam and Eve, when the tempter, the devil, came to them, and they got sucked into sin by listening to him. And they said, oh, that sounds pretty good. And they got their eyes off God and his word and got sidetracked. You know, temptation can come to us in many ways. Sometimes it's predictable. I know that I'm extra vulnerable when I'm hungry, when I'm angry, lonely, or tired. There's an acronym, HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. It's like, oh, those are times I got to be careful. But there's also times when I'm doing really great. Maybe I'm on vacation or I've had a super fabulous experience. I'm feeling good in every way, shape, or form. You know, the spiritual mountaintop. And then guess what happens the next day? Swamp. You know, maybe I let down my guard and it seems like I don't know where temptation strikes. Maybe on vacation I'm chilling in my hammock, or maybe metaphorically I'm just kind of relaxing, not realizing the whole time the devil's sneaking up on me and he's ready to go with that hammock and send me flying. You know, that's why we have to do what First Peter says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith. Well, we're getting back to our study in Mark today. And Jesus was baptized. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. It says, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open in Mark 1, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. Then, boom, we read in the next verse, he goes from this amazing, incredible place where the Father is saying, way to go, Son. The Spirit's landing on him. The crowd is probably going wild. And he faces a test like the world has never seen since. Wow. From high to low in two verses. There's no time for Jesus to bask in the presence of God. He doesn't say, just give me a little more time. This is great. He leaves the cool, crowded banks of the Jordan, heads into the God-forsaken desert. And we'll be in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 13 today. And we read, the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Mark gets right to the point. He doesn't waste any words. He doesn't go into a ton of detail like Matthew and Luke do. But he basically says, Jesus was on the mountaintop, he's tempted, and he makes it through. And you know, Jesus is going to be tempted over and over by the devil. to give up, to keep his, to take his eyes off Jesus, to not go through the hardship he knows is ahead, but he's going to continue to persevere. This temptation doesn't take Jesus by surprise. He's like, oh, I was just out by the Jordan, and suddenly, boom, I'm faced with this. No, this temptation God had planned because he was going to prepare his servant for a very difficult ministry. You know, it doesn't start slow for Jesus. It's not like when you go to a pool and you want to see how cold or warm it is and you stick your toe in. No, it's like the Spirit takes Jesus and chucks him in the river all at once. Verse 12, we read, the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. That same Spirit who came down like a dove suddenly is putting this compulsion in him. And Jesus doesn't fight it, but he says, all right, I will go. Interestingly enough, Mark doesn't say that the Spirit led him into the desert like Matthew and Luke. No, he drove him. There's that sense of sent, expelled, impelled. When Mark is talking about the exorcism of demons, he's like, Jesus drove them out. And that's what the Spirit's doing. He's got a hold of him. He's like, I know this is what I must do. I will go. And he's not forced against his will, but he's attuned to God. And there he's going to experience the wilderness, the full experience that God's people have had. He is going to come face to face with evil. He is going to be tempted beyond what any of us can imagine. He's going to face physical and spiritual adversity. We don't know exactly where this wilderness place is, but the traditional site is a little bit northwest of the Dead Sea, kind of west of Jericho. Israel is full of dry and desolate and uninhabited places. And for the Jews at this time, they viewed the desert as not a place you wanted to be. It brought back bad memories of wandering in the desert for 40 years. It was a place they associated with the curse versus cultivated land was where God's blessing was. You know, for Moses, the people of Israel, and Elijah, the desert was a place of testing and trial and difficulty. And that's what it'd be for Jesus as well. It's interesting, though, but because Jesus, one of the things he came to do in 1 John is to destroy the works of the devil, Jesus says yes to this experience because he knows he's got to confront the devil, and he's going to do it here, and he's going to do it later, and on at the cross, and we know he's going to win. But the Spirit sends him out there, and in a real sense, it's not to destroy him, but it's like a test. And John Corson says, in a sense, it's to show him off. Imagine that you've been thinking about getting a Jeep. So you've been looking through the internet, looking at things. You've been talking to Jeep owners, and you finally decide, I'm ready to do this. So you go down to the dealer, and you kick a few tires, you open the door, and then the salesman's on you. You know how that is. And he's like, oh, telling you all these great things. And he's like, tell you what, give me your driver's license. I'll make a photocopy, talk to my manager, and then we'll take a test drive. Okay, so you leave the streets of Medford and you head up to the wilds of Trail, and you're going up in all these places over the river and through the woods, and you do like you shouldn't and drive down Old Trail Creek Road and up onto Highway 227 like the people use the monster trucks like to do, and you give it a test. You really show what you can do. It doesn't damage the car, but it shows how strong and what a capable vehicle is. You wanted to know, will it stand up to the real world conditions? And it does. And the salesman proves it, so you sign on the dotted line and you come home with your new car. In a real sense, God is driving him. The Father, the Spirit is driving Jesus into the desert. And at the end, Jesus is standing back saying, watch my son. No matter what Satan's going to throw at him, he is going to succeed. He was the right one to send on this rescue mission. You know, lots of others failed when they were tested. Adam and Eve failed. Noah got through the flood, and then he gets drunk and naked. Oh, bad move, Noah. Abraham failed in lots of ways. Moses blew it. He led the people out of Egypt, but not in the promised land. David was a train wreck, and you and I blow it too. But not Jesus. He is going to make it over the river, through the woods. He's going to show the world, the flesh, and the devil he's got what it takes. He will finish his mission. Well, we read he's in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan. You know, 40 days is not a long time if you're on summer vacation as a kid. It's not nearly long enough. But if you're in the hospital, or if you're in severe emotional, physical pain, or you're getting 40 days worth of dental work, that's a long time. You know, And 40 days is a real symbolic thing in the Bible. Moses is on the mountain 40 days. Elijah has a journey that long. Jesus sends his disciples out. Israel wandered for 40 years in the desert. David stood up after Goliath had taunted the nation for 40 days. And this, he's out in the wilderness. But he's not just out in the boonies. He's out where he's being tested. Matthew and Luke say the one that was testing him was the devil, which means slander or accuser. Mark says Satan. Satan means adversary. You know, all those terms for the devil are good. He loves to come up and just says, you are a loser. Why even keep trying? Last time you tried, you failed, so just give in now. He'll say all kinds of horrible things, but he is God's adversary. He's God's enemy. He wants to stop Jesus from doing what he needs to do because he does not want salvation to result. He is a real and an awful, horrible spiritual being. He's got some authority in this world, and he wants to tempt Jesus to do things in his own way. Well, Matthew and Luke say that Jesus ate nothing during that time. You know, I know some of you have to go in for blood tests occasionally, and you have to fast for 12 hours. Well, when you do, I know, because I live with some folks that do. Your thinking gets muddy, and you start to get crabby after just 12 hours. Well, multiply that by 40, and add the desert heat into the mix. And then add this huge emotional weight of being isolated. When Jesus is at his very weakest, the devil hits him hardest. Mark doesn't say a whole lot about the temptation. Matthew and Luke go into a lot of detail. Let me read from Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will. If you will then worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil takes Jesus to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from there, for it's written, he'll command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands, they'll bear you up so you won't strike your foot against a stone. But Jesus answers him, it's said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Satan, over and over, is trying to get Jesus to do things differently than God. But Jesus is going to stay focused on the Father, and he will do the right thing. Interestingly enough, Mark says that he's being tempted by the devil, and he's with the wild animals. There's a number of views about this. Some people are saying, well, this is like a precursor to the messianic age, where all the lion will lay down with the lamb. And obviously, these animals recognize Jesus as Messiah. And so there's this picture of Jesus is petting bunnies and talking to his emotional support snake. But others are saying, no. Wild animals are living in the wilderness. And it's a place of the curse. And it's not a place you want to be. He's not only having to stand up against the wiles of the devil, but the animals as well. Imagine, he's trying to pray. It's all alone at night. And suddenly he hears things like this. Anybody know what that is? Can you imagine that? You're like, oh Lord, help me to do the right thing. Rah! Right behind him. You know, I think really what's going on is he's not cuddling and warming up with the animals on the cold, dark desert night. No, this is a ferocious place no one wants to be, where it is scary, it's difficult, it's the danger is amplified. I think another reason that Mark mentions the wild animals is the fact is he's writing to Roman Christians, and their commitment to Christ is leading them straight to a literal lion's mouth. There was a Roman historian, Tacitus, and he spoke of Nero, and Nero was a bad guy. He was savage towards the Christians. And Tacitus wrote this about the Christians. He said, they were covered with the hides of wild beasts and torn to pieces by dogs. You can almost imagine Mark's readers as they're hearing, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. He is with the wild animals. Picture, they're in the catacombs somewhere. They're huddling around a little candle, and they hear he's with the wild animals. And they're thinking to themselves, we know what Nero is doing to people. For us, we go, wild animals, big deal. But for them, they were probably thinking, wow, we may be getting ready to face wild animals as well. And for them, if they thought about it, Jesus faced them, the Spirit helped him, the angels were with him, he will be with us as well. You know, it's interesting that we're told that the angels ministered to him. And the verb tense suggests they were there helping him the entire time. We don't know exactly what they did. Luke, again, says in Matthew, he didn't eat for 40 days, so it's not like they brought him cheeseburgers. But they were there somehow strengthening him. He was there alone in some ways, but God's grace and presence was still there. Aren't you glad in our moment of trial, in our moment of difficulty, in our moment of need, we're not left alone? You know, Mark's readers would know that they may be facing the lions, the wild animals, but God would be with them. But you know, just because Jesus is 100% God, don't forget he was also 100% human. These were real temptations. He was made out of the same stuff we are. He had to be in order to identify for us, in order to take our punishment. And he took on our condition. He got hungry. He was lonely. He was tired. He could get angry without sinning, not like us, but he was tempted, but he didn't sin. There's some great passages in Hebrews. It says, for this reason, he was made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and high priest in service to God, that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he's able to help those who are being tempted. And not only that, though, in Hebrews 4, we don't not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. So let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy and help in our time of need. A tempted Jesus can understand and relate to a tempted you and I. And because he understands it and he promises to help, he will. You know, the most important thing fighting temptation, and we're going to fight it, is to be a child of God and to be filled with the Spirit. Martin Luther was once asked, how do you overcome the devil? And he said, well, when he comes knocking on the door of my heart and asks, who lives here? The Lord Jesus goes to the door and said, Martin Luther used to live here, but he's moved out. Now I live here. Don't you love that? There's this sense of if Christ is filling our life and we are attuned to him and encouraging the Holy Spirit to be at work, there's not as much room for the devil to squeeze his way in. You know, there's a couple things to think about when it comes to temptation. We have the same adversary. The devil hates us. Remember, though, our struggle's not against flesh and blood. People may drive us crazy, but they're not the enemy. It's the enemy of our souls. And so we've got to put on the full armor of God. Remember, we face similar temptations. Jesus was tempted basically with the lust of the eyes and the flesh and the pride of life. And he said, no, he didn't turn that doorknob. We also have been given the word of God. We know what God's plan is. He's given us faith and the help of angels. In Hebrews 1, it says, aren't all angels ministering spirits to serve those who inherit salvation? I don't know how it works. Well, I don't really necessarily think that I got a little angel on my shoulder. Oh, this is Mike's angel. You know, meet Marty's angel. Meet Kenny's angel. I don't think it's like that. But God does send his angels to help us. That is really cool. You know, Jesus had a tough job. And we have a hard role here. Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. It's interesting that Jesus stood firm. You know, when he was tempted, when he was tried, the devil came alongside and he misquoted scripture. And Jesus didn't play that game. He simply quoted verbatim, said, this is what the word of God says. He says, don't go there. I'm not going to argue with you. This is what it means. And truly, Jesus knew what it meant. He says, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, if you're struggling with temptation, we all do. Look to the example of Jesus. Use God's word. Fight him with it. If you don't have it memorized, read it to him. Read it out loud. Keep your eye on Jesus is the larger goal. Look to him. He's your high priest. He knows what it's like. He has sympathy. He empathizes. He knows even when we blow it, guess what? We have an advocate, one who speaks to the Father in our defense. We can go to him. And you know, it's one of those things. When you do, those things in the periphery just don't become as big a deal. Because no matter what, God is better. Let me pray. We'll invite the team up. Lord, I want to thank you that Jesus did not fall to the schemes of the devil. I want to thank you, Lord, he stood firm, no matter what was thrown against him, because he kept his eye on the goal, and that was to die and to live a sinless life and to grant us salvation. And Lord, we face temptation in this world. It is hard. There are so many things, and the devil knows, has got our number. He knows which buttons to press. But Jesus, help us to keep our eyes on you. So even though all these things are going on in our lives, we will continue to look to you. Thank you for your word, which can help us. Thank you for brothers and sisters, which can encourage us along the way. Thank you, Lord, that you send angels to help us. How that works, I don't know, but that's a blessing. We are never alone. I know that no temptation's taken us, that such as is common to man, but God, you are faithful, who won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. No matter what anyone's facing this week, help us to cling to you and keep our eyes locked upon you. We love you, dear Lord. Amen.